Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome. I'm so glad that you're here wherever you are. If you're driving down the road, if you're at work, if you're at home, if you are just enjoying your time with your kids or whatever it is that you're doing, I'm just so grateful to have part of your afternoon. I know that your most valuable commodity is your time. And the fact that you spend time here with us learning and finding hope for healthy families together is really encouraging to me. And so I just want to tell you, thank you. Thank you very much for listening in. Thank you for caring about your family. Thank you for looking to Jesus for hope, because in a world that seems like it is topsy-turvy and turned on its head, and we never know what news the day is going to bring to us, it is really great to know there are like-minded people who are just clinging to their faith, because that's what we've got. Now, today, there's something that's been on my heart that I really want to talk to you about. So today, you've got me. And I am going to talk to you about Gen Z and Gen Alpha and raising kids in a world that seems like it really has gone mad. And, you know, everywhere that I go, and when I say that I have four kids, of course, I have four kids. I've got two in college. I have two in high school. So I have young adults all in Gen Z. And when I say that I have four kids and teenagers, I often get instant offers of sympathy. I get jokes. I get prayers sometimes on the spot. And I think a lot of times I get negative messaging. I'm just going to be honest and say, I'm so glad I'm not raising kids in this world. Like, I'm so glad my kids are already grown. Or conversely, I hear from young parents who have young kids or who don't have kids yet. And they're saying, I'm scared to death to raise kids in a world like this. So I want to encourage you to know that, yes, it feels like the world has changed. The world has changed a lot since the time that I grew up. It seems like things are just very, very different. Yet we also know from Scripture that nothing is new under the sun. And there may be new ways in which we encounter threats, but the honest truth is that the world is broken and has been broken since the fall and creation. And there may be new ways we encounter these threats, but the heart issues are still the same. The sins behind the heart issues are still the same. We're still seeing greed and selfishness and malice and wrath and all of those things that we know from Scripture. So we can have hope in that, because especially for you parents who have older kids, who have grown kids, who have grandkids, you have a lot of wisdom to offer. And sometimes I hear frustration from younger parents saying, you know, well, I don't know, my parents don't know about this, or they don't know about this threat. That may be true. They may not know about deepfakes and sextortion and mewing and looks maxing and all of those kinds of things. But they know about the issues of the heart, and you have so much wisdom to offer. And so I think there's such great partnership for intergenerational families. And whether that's the family that God gave you when you were born, or that's the family that God gifted you, maybe through your church family, whatever that family is for you, whatever that support system is for you, because I know many of you, like me, have broken family relationships, and that can be even more difficult, and even a greater opportunity for the church to step in and to really be family and to partner with all of us on all of these different life stages, whether you're just starting out, whether you are working on your marriage, whether you have little kids, whether you have bigger kids, grown kids, grandkids, wherever you are on that family spectrum, the world is a scary place for all of us, and we can all be together. So I want to talk specifically today about Gen Z and Gen Alpha, because I hear so much negativity from older generations, including mine. I'm a Gen X, but I hear it from millennials. I hear it from baby boomers. I hear it from the greatest generation. I hear kids today. Kids today are lazy. They are disrespectful. They are weak. I mean, these are concerns that we have. And the truth is that every generation has been critical of generations to follow, and each generation has its own characteristics, its own triumphs, and its own struggle. So I want to give you some perspective and kind of how did we get here in talking about these generations. And I really want you to walk away feeling empowered to influence the worldview of younger generations. And to do that, to influence their worldview, we first have to view the world as they see it. And what I see is a lot of just discounting of saying, you know, basically your worldview is dumb, it's wrong, it's misguided, it is ridiculous, you know, just insert any negative adjective that you want to insert. But that is really disconnecting. It's off-putting. It's isolating. It's alienating. It's confusing, because what we're trying to tell them about how the world used to be, they didn't experience that, and they are going to best experience that through the context of relationships. That is the key to influencing worldview, is through building relationships. You are not going to lecture your way into leveraging a worldview change. You're not going to argue your way into right relationship. You need to build relationships, because we know from research that healthy relationships are the number one predictor of influence. That is what it is. It's also the number one predictor of resilience. And we need kids who are resilient to get through tough times. This is a generation that has been through COVID, and that was a severe, severe social and emotional and mental health wound on today's kids. So with all of that, let's dive in and get started. Now, it can be hard, because to start with, when we are talking about generation to generation, each generation has its own lingo, its own culture, and we really have a trouble understanding the culture of each other. So let me give you some vocabulary from Gen Z, and just give yourself a little mental quiz and think, how many of these words do you know? And here we go. So chuggy, slaps, snatched, vibing, drip, bussin', stan, no cap, simp, high key, bet, bougie, and salty. Now, I bet some of you are thinking, I've never even heard some of those words. Some of you are thinking, hey, I know a few of those, that's fine. And I can tell you, I actually know what every single one of these words mean, but I will tell you that my kids will be the first to say, I cannot use them in a sentence without sounding cringe. That's what they would say. And it's true. But let's start with a common language. So when you hear kids using words that you don't know what they mean, ask them what they mean. Now, I'll give you a disclaimer. They will laugh. They will laugh at you. They will laugh with you. But they would love to teach you something, and it can give you some insight into how they're communicating, what's important, what they're looking at, what the culture is like. So, for example, stan is a combination of stalker, fan. It's a fan of something or someone to the point that you're almost stalking them is what it is. So you can think, okay, tell me about that. Tell me. And that's not different, right? We've had, they think back to generations past, where the craze over the Beatles, the craze over Elvis, those kinds of things are not new. We can find common ground. The other thing that we look at is cultural icons. We have celebrities. Celebrity culture is a reality of modern day American life. So some of the celebrities that Gen Z follows is Noah Schnapp. If you have no idea who that is, he's a star on the show Stranger Things. Charlie D'Amelio. Now, her claim to fame is simply having the most followers in the world on TikTok. How did she get followers? Well, just engaging. She was just a normal teenager and she did silly dances. That's really it. And then we have a singer, Olivia Rodrigo, who actually gives out and has stopped doing this, but previously gave out birth control methods at her concert and offered kids the opportunity to donate to causes of reproduction, of reproductive freedom, as she would state it. And this is what our kids are encountering. This is something they clearly need guidance on navigating. But there probably is no greater cultural icon than Taylor Swift. You've heard me talk about this. You've heard me write about this, because this is something that is saturating the culture, especially for Gen Z and even for millennials. And if you're thinking, you know, I'm so sick of hearing about that, what is the big deal? Let's take a moment to look at the world as they see it. Her Taylor Swift's Eras Tour is the first musical event to gross more than $1 billion. Her music streamed 26 billion times. That's billion with a B. On Spotify in 2023 alone. That was only on one platform in 1 year, 26 billion times. She has 118 Guinness World Records and probably more since I looked it up. But here's the really surprising thing that I found surprising. 53% of US adults identify as fans, called Swifties, and 16% are avid fans, like they follow everything she does. And when we look at the Taylor Swift's evolution, she started out as wide-eyed, innocent. She has some albums that are really good. If you look at some of the lyrics, there's one of her songs called Marjorie, which is actually a song about her grandmother. It says, never be so kind, you forget to be clever. Never be so clever, you forget to be kind. She has a song called Best Day that talks about the fondness and the appreciation that she has for being raised by her parents, her mom, her dad. She talks about her appreciation for her mom, her love and connection and bond with that, her appreciation for her dad being such a hard worker, her bond with her brother growing up on a Christmas tree farm. You can see the appeal there. But as Taylor Swift has grown and evolved, and her recent album, Tortured Poets Department, which I've talked about quite a bit, that's a 31-track tribute to heartbreak. And it is not the wide-eyed innocent that started out. The thing is, though, when you're looking at millennials, when you're looking at Gen Z, and they're comparing this to popular contemporaries, she is tame compared to some of the things that are out there. It's pretty hard to shock me as a nurse, as a mom, and as somebody who is regularly looking at cultural threats for kids. But I tell you, I was very, very shocked by some of the contemporaries and the explicitness of the lyrics here. But the truth is, for Tortured Poet Department, 7 of the first 15 tracks are rated as explicit. And it is not an album wisely interpreted by young listeners. There are very angsty themes in there. There's a popular song called Florida. It's a dark ode to a stereotypical spring break. We're talking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But other concepts are suicide, infidelity, abuse, revenge, loneliness, and betrayal. And there are lyrics that are saturated in profanity. And that is really concerning. And I think that, you know, people are saying, oh, they're just, no, don't listen to it. And for some people, that some families, that is a really easy no. But some parents really struggle with this. And the truth is that a simple no won't equip our kids to face cultural saturation, whether it's Taylor Swift or anything else, and discussions occurring in their peer circles. And Taylor Nation is real, because what is happening is that those lyrics are accurately reflective of the realities that kids are facing today. They're relatable, or it wouldn't be so powerful. And here's the takeaway from all of this. The pull of that is community. Her fans will spend hours dissecting what she calls Easter eggs or hidden meanings in her lyrics, and it's intentional. Those searchers find community with other searchers, and that's what young listeners are really looking for, to be seen, to be known, to be loved, and to know that they are not alone. As I said, Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and even as the wisest man in the world, he struggled to find meaning in life. So we need to join our kids in this search for meaning in life, pointing them not to cultural icons, but to a hope that doesn't disappoint, a God who promised to never leave or forsake us, a joy that comes in the morning to give beauty for ashes. Impress them upon your family. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Teach them to dwell on whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and those things all start with intentional conversation and relationship building. Well, more on Gen Z and Gen Alpha when we come back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Things are getting real. Jesus, take the wheel. Only way I'm getting to the other side. Days are getting dark. Life's a little hard. Blinded, but I'm trying not to lose sight. I don't got this. I know you got this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll believe it before I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're gonna see me through it. If anybody can do it. God, I know in the trial and the pain, fire and the rain, you're gonna see me. Can you can do it? And whenever my heart runs away, you say the day you're gonna see me.
Welcome back, friends. I cannot tell you how many times I have said that in the last month, in the last year, really in the last forever. Jesus, take the wheel, because the wheels feel like they're coming off of the world and we're all trying to navigate this together. Well, welcome back, friends. We really do just need to look to God to see us through it. He is on his throne. He is not surprised by anything that is happening. He is not sitting on the throne of heaven, wringing his hands, saying, oh no, what's going to happen next? He knows, he sees, he cares, and we can trust him, and we can be obedient every single day in guiding those around us to look to the Lord for the hope that we need. Well, today we are talking about Gen Z and Gen Alpha in this crazy time where it seems like the political world especially has just brought news that's got us all upset and has our hearts all in disarray. And we're wondering, what does the future look like? I want to give you some encouragement about looking at Gen Z and Gen Alpha and influencing their worldview. Now, before the break, we were talking about the worldview of Gen Z and Gen Alpha, but let's go back a little bit, and I want to give you a challenge, because you may have been thinking about some of those cultural icons we were talking about, some of those music artists, and you're thinking, I have no idea what that is. I don't want to know. I'm glad I don't know. And, you know, we kind of have judgmental attitudes. It's very true. And there is right cause for concern. But let's take a look at our own generation, and you tell me, what's your generational jam? Do you know the questions to any of these? Because I can tell you, these questions I'm about to ask you, this quiz you're about to take, I've given to Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And I can tell you that I have never had any kids in any audience answer any of these questions. But let's see how you do. Okay. Do you know, who's the sheriff in Mayberry? Do you know? Who did Joni love? What is the show that spawned the famous line, "Who shot JR?" Who did Luke marry on General Hospital? What is the show? Finish the show name. Father Knows. I know you know it. Some of you are saying to each other, you're listening with somebody else and saying, oh, yes, I know this. Maybe you can finish this phrase. Be kind. I'll give you the answer on that. It's Rewind. We've all been to Blockbuster. See, most of you probably knew all of those very quickly. And so I think it's a little bit hypocritical of us to have an affinity for our generational culture while being so judgmental about the other. So I think that investing in what they're investing in, watching a show with them, listening to a song with them, and then starting conversation is a really good way to go. We can give them some food for thought in guiding their choices, especially on media, because there is a generational divide, but that is opportunity for old school wisdom and new world perspective. So seeing the world as they see it, but building relationships that offer our wisdom, that is the way to build a biblical worldview. It's not going to happen just through courses, just through lectures, just through conversation, just through strict rules. I mean, all of those things have their time and place, but they need to be in the context of a healthy relationship. So let's take a look back and look back at other generations and how did we get to this conversation we're having. Well, let's go back to the Greatest Generation. Of course, we know these were World War II veterans. These were people who went through World War II and supported veterans who were away. Everyone, stoic, just so brave, so incredibly just admirable. But at the same time, World War II was extremely traumatic. And their generation adopted that, hey, you just don't talk about those kinds of things. You just go on and you do what you need to do and you soldier on. And they held all of those emotions inside. Now, they after them came the Silent Generation. This is 1928 to 1945. Some of you are thinking, oh, I forgot about that, or I've never even heard of that generation. Well, these kids were raised to be seen and not heard. And a lot of that is because the stress that can come from just the chaos of childhood can trigger trauma. And so they learn to be quiet and to not trigger their parents. And then you have baby boomers who felt like they weren't seen or heard. So they were going to go on their own journey to look for love. And that they raised Gen X, which of course are latchkey kids, right? Who were on their own and thought, I can do anything, and felt some of the absence of that parenting, and raised millennials, overcompensated. Millennials love their parents, but are mocked by them. Millennials had good relationships with their parents generally, and so wanted to do better than that. So we've got Gen Z, and Gen Z now we're followed by Gen Alpha. And this is the generation I will talk about a little bit, because Gen Alpha is just now turning 14. So we're just now starting to see Gen Alpha was starting to be born in 2010. And they are actually called iPad kids because they are born in the same year the iPad was introduced in 2010. And the average Gen Alpha is getting a cell phone now at age 9. Yes, I said 9 years old. Now, their culture is being shaped by TikTok trends, and their big thing is marketing influence, because industry is leveraging Gen Alpha's consumerism and their purchasing power. Now, Gen Z kids were enamored with clothes from Justice or Starbucks drinks or Nike socks, Minecraft, Razor scooters, Disney Channel sing-alongs. That really defined Gen Z. Gen Alpha kids are savvy Sephora consumers. They're UGG aficionados. They're Lululemon collectors. Some of you are thinking, I don't even know what that is, what you just said. But they host their own YouTube makeup tutorials. They're crazy about the viral Stanley Tumblr. This $45 pound of recycled stainless steel is a ticket to popularity. So we've gone from Gen Z and baby boomers drinking from the hose to now you must be hydrated with ionic water or alkaline water in a $45 cup. Curated image is king in Gen Alpha. And in its wake, we see almost 100,000 cosmetic surgical procedures performed on teen girls. That was a statistic from 2020. We see eating disorders skyrocketing. We see seven-step, $700 skincare routine starting at age seven. I am not even kidding. What can we do? Well, first, we don't panic. And second, we don't give in. There are negative trends in every generation. I've just gone over those. And of course, those don't identify all of us, but we all have those trends, those stereotypes that we look at generationally. But for both Gen Z and Gen Alpha, we need to nurture their identity in Christ. Examine your own heart as a parent or grandparent from behaviors that come from good motivation. Because yes, we want our kids to have better than what we had, but we need to pour our time, our emotional energy, and our financial resources into investing in our relationship with those kids rather than crafting their image. And sometimes we do that because we feel like their image is reflective of us. And that's a really, really tough truth. But even tougher, your kids want your presence more than your presence, more than your gifts. So we need to really look at this generation. And they are both, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, are both living at the speed of a smartphone. And the truth is, we don't know what that's like. And so it's hard for us to be compassionate. And when we look at the mental health crisis and we see Gen Z that is extremely anxious, extremely depressed, and can't really do life skills a lot of times, we need to stop and have some empathy because we did not grow up the way that they are growing up. They are growing up with fears of being viral. Let me tell you a story about a girl named Lily who was on a train, and she has a condition called neurofibromatosis, which makes little tumors all over her body. She was recorded with a smartphone by a stranger without her knowledge, didn't even know what was happening, without her consent. And that stranger changed her life with just two emojis, didn't even have to use words to communicate, showed this video of her on the train and had an emoji of a monkey and a question mark. And basically using those two emojis asked, does this girl have monkeypox on a train? Now this video of course went viral before millions, and actually her sister is the one who saw it and recognized her. This is the kind of world that our kids are living in. They are constantly afraid of being bullied on a world stage. When we were bullied in the cafeteria, and we were afraid someone would steal our lunch money and everybody at school would see. But now kids are bullied 24/7. There is no escape. They don't have summers off. Online is always there, even if they're not online, even if they don't have a phone, even if they don't have social media. Their world is saturated in screens, and people will say, oh, look at this, and put a screen in their face. They get bad news at the speed of light. And anytime something bad happens, even with the recent assassination attempt on Donald Trump, I found out about that from my teenagers. They found out about it before I did. And it is filling their phone with imagery, with news. And it's scary because it comes so fast and so much. Then they're victim to the algorithm because social media platforms are hiring the best psychologists in the world to make sure they're addicted to that platform. They may look at one video of one political persuasion just out of curiosity. And then all of a sudden, the algorithm's going to feed them 2 hours worth of video that's going to subtly influence their worldview, because they're going to start to see people they see as credible giving them commentary, looking like official news, and then all of a sudden their worldview is shaped because they've spent 2 hours looking at the algorithm on their phone. They have fear of missing out. They see things that are happening and they think that they're not invited. They're not a part of that. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. And we can actually measure this scientifically on a scale, which is just unbelievable for me to think about in pediatrics. They also live in a prison of perfection. They grow up seeing these curated images. And the truth is, we are susceptible to those as adults. We have FOMO. We look at people taking vacations that we can't afford, or having family gatherings that we don't have. And we have jealousy. We have FOMO ourselves. And yet we judge the FOMO of other generations. We look at that mom that always seems like she has it together. We look at the dad that seems like he's so fit. We look at the people that seem like they have no cares in the world. Their family's perfect. Their house is perfect. But that we know that's not true. We know that what we're posting on social media or not posting, that our life isn't perfect. But think about how much more difficult it is for kids who experience that. I think this is really, really challenging. So we have Gen Z who are digital natives. They feel the world is unsafe. We have to remember, friends, this is the first generation that was born after 9/11. They don't remember the days when you could just walk straight up to a plane, when there was no TSA, when we didn't fear terrorism or school shootings. They don't remember those days because they didn't exist in their world. This contributes to their feelings of anxiety and depression because they feel like the world is unsafe. Anything can happen. The presidential race can be upended at any moment. And then we, as other generations, are telling them, yep, the world is going you know where in a handbasket, and this is a terrible time to be alive. And then we wonder why they're so pessimistic. But Gen Z has some great strengths. They are health conscious. They're more health conscious than we are, and we need it. I shared the story before of buying junk food for my daughter's party that she was having friends over, and I thought I was the cool mom. And she told me, oh, bless your heart, because, you know, we're from Texas, and that's what you say when you try to politely offend someone and say, oh, bless your heart, you bought me cancer in cute packages, Mom. That's nice. Because I'm telling you, when I grew up with a slumber party, we were not, you know, eating hummus. I didn't even know what hummus was when I was in high school, honestly. But they are also privacy conscious. I can share with you that I asked my college age daughter recently, hey, I'd heard something about one of their friends announcing something on Instagram. And I asked if she had seen it. And she said, oh, no, I delete that app for the summer. I want to spend time with my family. I watch my screen time. It takes way too much screen time and it negatively influences my emotions. I just need to not have it. Let me tell you how small I felt, because I have not deleted my, well, you know, I'm old, so I use Facebook. I haven't deleted that, but we can learn something from Gen Z. These are such great opportunities for us. But when we look at the world as they see it, Facebook has 2.9 billion monthly active users, YouTube, 5 billion videos a day. There's 300 hours of content uploaded every minute. Now, when we grew up, we read the shampoo bottle if we were bored in the shower, or we read the back of the cereal box. Now they have content overload. This also contributes to anxiety because they don't know what to watch, what to listen to. When we were growing up, it was Walter Cronkite, right? Like that was the news guy. Now there are so many sources and they need to know what are viable, trustworthy sources of news. But when we look at how the world is shaped for this generation, we see the word of the year. And I see this starting in 2009 with the word unfriend, which is the elimination of a friend on social media. And now that has translated to real life. They can unfriend someone in real life. Then we have repudiate. We have app, GIF or JIF, depending on how you say it, selfie, vape. In 2015, the word of the year was not even a word of the year. It's a laughing face with tears emoji. An emoji was the word of the year. Then we have post-truth, youthquake, fake news, justice, climate emergency, they as a singular pronoun, unprecedented, pandemic, vax, allyship, goblin mode, and metaverse. This is the world that our kids are facing today. And I know some of you like me are saying, what do some of those words even mean? But there is good news and there is hope, because you can really help. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what you can do to connect with Gen Z and Gen Alpha and build relationships that will influence their worldview for good. I'll be right back.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Looking out my window, feeling the crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold, you have always held me close. You're the only rock that I could ever stand on. You're the only one for me. The sun goes up, the sun comes down. This old world keeps spinning round. I'm here traveling down this long and winding road. Seasons come and seasons go. They take me high, then leave me low. But I'm still standing on the old.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be honest with you. I literally have tears in my eyes thinking about the message of that song. Thank goodness that we have a cornerstone in Jesus Christ. And thank goodness that we have a God who is on his throne, who is in control, who loves us and who cares us, because we are in a world that is just really overwhelming and hard to navigate. That's what we're talking about today, is Gen Z and Gen Alpha and helping them find hope for healthy relationships and hope in a world where it's often the news seems hopeless. We've talked a lot about what kids are facing today and influencing their worldview by first stopping to really view the world as they see it. Have some empathy for their experience and try to put yourself in their shoes and feel the emotions that they might feel. And then partner with them to give them the wisdom that you have learned from your walk with the Lord, from God's word, from your life experience, the things that you have learned. Kids are craving this. And we've kind of talked about a lot of scary things, and I'll go through a couple more scary things, but we are going to end empowered and engaged to really speak truth and hope and light into the world of Gen Z and Gen Alpha. Now, some of the things that they face, I cover a lot of these on Fridays when I do Ask Dr. Nurse Mama, and I talk about all of these things that are just new threats. And listen, we can be very easily have our heads turned by fear. Oh my goodness, what about this? What about that? Oh, and then we frantically try to become experts in the issue, but really the truth is we need to be experts in relationship and focus our efforts not about learning about the issues, which of course, yes, that's important. We want to know about that. But the bulk of our relationship should go into those, the bulk of our efforts should go into those relationships. And I'm convinced that with healthy relationships, there is no new threat that you can't tackle together and that you can't navigate together. But kids today are facing things like nudifying apps. These are apps that you can put regular pictures of anyone you know or videos, and it removes the clothing from the women and girls in those videos. Yes, I'm being serious. We're talking about things like sextortion, where kids will exchange explicit images online thinking that it's consensual with a peer, and then all of a sudden they realize it is an adult, it is a predator, it's someone in another country who is now demanding money because they are going to share these photos now unless they get money. And because only about 60% of kids use privacy settings on social media, it's very easy to know where they go to church, where they go to school, who their parents are, who their friends are, and these extortionists do make good on that. We're talking about a world with AI catfish cloning. This is where AI only needs 3 seconds of your voice to create any number of dialogue, anything. And so we have people who will create a video of what seems like your voice saying something that you would never say, saying, give me money, or I'll send this video and tell everyone you did it. We've got a world of Borgs, which is blackout rage gallons. These are milk gallon jugs, and kids are putting in them vodka, caffeine, electrolytes and thinking this is a safer way to drink. We've got a world of chroming where they're sniffing, huffing anything from a chemical container to get high and thinking this is a safe, fun way to pass time because, hey, what's so dangerous about nail polish? It's not heroin. We've got a world where the TikTok trend for self-care is called bed rotting. This is just literally staying in your bed all day long, surrounded by crumpled bags of potato chips and other junk food while you're just scrolling through social media, and that is self-care. We've got a world of looks maxing, which is going after boys online, wanting to drive some of those marketing and consumerism trends that have gotten girls to buy cosmetics and skincare regime. Now boys are doing that. You can talk to any teenage boy about mewing, and they can probably tell you what it is, and exercises to make your jawline look more chiseled. This world is crazy. And I usually don't like to use that word, but it is straight up crazy. But even in this world of digital connection, we have a generation that is very disconnected. They are desperate for relationships. They're trying to fill it with a void by watching reels and videos. But what they really, really want is relationship. And that's hard because it seems like they don't, because they, you know, look disinterested. They seem much more interested in their phone. And that's where we have to work as older generations to make it compelling, to keep trying, to not give up, to not be discouraged by that initial rejection, because they're looking to say, are you trustworthy? Are you just saying this once? Do you really care about me? Do you really want to know? Is this something, can I trust you with this information that you're asking about? You've got to be patient to build that over time. And the truth is, parents, that we often just berate this generation for being around their phone. And I see that in the book that has kind of taken the world by storm, Anxious Generation. And the solutions in those book are really to get rid of the phones. Get rid of the phones. Make sure that they're later. Limit their exposure to them in school. All of those things are good. I'm not criticizing that at all. But if we don't replace what we're taking away, if we don't replace that connection, that fake connection they have with their phone, with a real connection of relationships, that's not going to change anything. And the reality is we live in a digital world. Smartphones are not going away. Social media is not going away. And it's so encouraging to me to see, like I shared with you before, Gen Z pushing back on it themselves and saying, you know what? We don't want to be like our parents, because as parents, we are, as Gen X, as millennials, technology is a little more novel and we tend to be a little more addicted to it. How many times have you been at a sports game or a school event where you just see the tops of everyone's heads? No one's talking to each other. No one's looking. We're not even watching our kids. We're watching them through the lens of our phone. Everything happens through our phone. And our kids see this. I've talked about it before. It's a phenomenon called fubbing, phone snubbing. And we do this to kids and our relationships around us. It's not even our kids. It's our spouse, our parents, our grandparents. We need to invest in real relationships more than ever. We need that time that is eye to eye and heart to heart. So what can you do in a world that seems like it has lost its mind? And when we are just feeling hopeless about generations to come, well, first and foremost, I'm going to challenge you to pray for your family. Pray for them often. Don't underestimate the value of praying for and with your family. We cannot do this on our own. Second, speak and share scripture over them. God's words of wisdom are infinitely wiser than our own. So think about how much you're watching the news, how much you're talking about the state of the world. Are you praying and reading God's word in equal time? Because that is where the answers lie. That is really important. Third, you can follow along with the show, because ever since January, every week we've been talking about a healthy habit for healthy families. And we've been giving you a habit each week that will help you to build those relationships. If you've missed out on any of those, you can go to Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. You can find them at afr.net or any podcast platform, and start to implement those healthy habits. Anticipate the unexpected. Know that things are going to go wrong. things are going to be upended. Your kids are going to make poor choices. Even good kids can make poor choices, especially when their thumb moves faster than the prefrontal cortex of their brain. The smartphone is a very powerful tool, and a lot of times they have underdeveloped character to handle the overexposure that comes with a smartphone. So when your kids make a mistake, make room for grace. Say, I'm so sorry you experienced this. I'm sorry that this happened to you. Let's let our emotions settle down before we talk. This is hard. We're going to need some help. But no matter what, I love you no matter what. And when something happens in the world, whether it's political or social or cultural, intentionally engage your kids. A lot of times we have the news playing on repeat over their heads, and we are talking to our spouse, to our parents, to our peers, but we're not talking to our kids. And even kids as young as 4 or 5, ask them what they know, of what they've heard about what's going on and how they feel about it. Ask them how it's impacting them personally. Ask them, how can I support you and help you feel safe? What do you need to feel safe? And ask them, what do you think you can do to be a positive impact? My son, I asked him these questions after a school shooting happened in our community, and he shared with me at the time. I didn't think this was impacting him personally, and I really didn't know that he'd heard much about it. But he told me that it did impact him because his teachers had responded in different ways. One of them had bought a bunch of classroom safety stuff off of Amazon. And one of them told them they didn't need to worry about anything, that this was never going to happen. Another one told them, we just need to trust God. Well, all of those things are not wrong, but I can't imagine how it would be for a 12-year-old to be interpreting all of those different things. And when I asked, what can I do to help you feel safe? He said, at lunch, everyone had got out their phones and were looking at the bulletproof backpacks on Amazon, and he wanted to know if he should get one. So we have to remember to engage our kids in conversation about how this is impacting them. We have a generation of young people, 18 and up, that this will be their first presidential election to vote in. That is something that requires conversation. It really needs conversation as we guide them and as we try to influence them. They're not going to respond to a lecture and to the news being on all of the time and dismissing their opinions. So the best way that you can influence their worldview is start by listening. Not too long ago, I did a community event where I asked kids, what's the one thing that you're afraid to ask your parents for? I gave them each a post-it note, had them go put it on a table. Parents ran over to this because they knew it was going to be, you know, you want the latest sports equipment, or I want to have a social media account and you won't let me have it. But I was shocked to see one word filling the post-it notes all over that table, and that word was listen. They just want to be heard. They want their fears to be understood. And we have to understand that kids developmentally do not process things the way that we do. That takes time. That takes guidance. And we have to listen to where they are and what their fears are at the moment. So I'll just close here by reminding you that in my book, Behind Closed Doors, I walk through this communication method that I adapted from what I use in clinical practice, and it's called love. It's just love your family. It starts with L, listen with your face. Give your family, whoever that is, your whole face. Give them your whole undivided attention. Put down your phone, put down your screen, walk away from it, and then offer them open-ended questions. Make the first words out of your mouth. Don't lead with lecturing. Lead with questions. Nurture curiosity. Cultivate curiosity. And generally, be curious about why they see things the way they do and what they see. Validate their feelings. That's the V. And say, I can see you're feeling anxious. I can see you're feeling really angry about this. I can see this makes you really excited. I can see this energizes you. Because again, remember what I told you, kids want to be seen. They want to be known. They want to be loved. And then E is exploring next steps together. I encourage you to think about your family and those people who you want to influence their worldview. And are you, especially if you're living in the same household, are you spending time physically in each other's presence? Or sometimes digital devices, even though they connect us, they disconnect us in our homes. You can be on the couch or in separate rooms, everybody watching their own thing, thinking their own thing. I really encourage you to nurture a physical space in your home where you are just available for your family, where you can turn off your screen, where you can give them your face, where you can spend time investing in conversation with them that will guide their worldview. And I'm just convinced, like I told you, that there is nothing that we can't tackle together, that we can't navigate together in the context of healthy relationships. Now, I am a Gen Xer, so I'll close with a quote from Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, even though, listen, my kids will tell me, "Mom, this is the creepiest show I've ever seen ever. These puppets, are you serious?" But I say, yes, this was the comfort of our generation. And I remember Mr. Rogers saying, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." This is a great word of advice for us to look when we see people who are hurting our country, our society, our culture, our children. Look for the people who are helping. And remember from Psalm 84:11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And we will continue to walk here, searching for hope for healthy families. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. I'll see you here next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.